Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So as New York State wrestles with its huge budget deficit, one proposal to help close it is attracting money from health advocates for a big advertising push. Have you seen this ad on TV?
I see overweight and obese kids every day.
I know what their future holds.
Diabetes, heart disease, cancer.
It is an epidemic, and it's preventable.
Over 10 million New Yorkers are dangerously overweight. By adding pennies to the cost of sugary sodas and drinks, we can help reduce obesity, and we can use the money to stop devastating healthcare cuts in Albany.
Helping New Yorkers lose weight is a matter of life and death.
Tell Albany to pass the soda tax. Make New York healthier.
So that ad supports Governor Patterson's proposed tax on sugary sodas and other sweetened drinks. A similar proposal last year got killed in the legislature. The New York State Health Commissioner, Richard Daines, is here now to support the idea. Commissioner, thanks for coming on WNYC.
Great to be here.
And listeners, we can take your comments on questions. A soda tax, yes or no? Maybe you've seen this big advertising push. There are full-color flyers that kind of look like those Bloomberg for Mayor flyers that were everywhere last year. Some of you may be receiving in your snail mail boxes. So, listeners, we can take your comments and questions. A soda tax, yes or no? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And, Commissioner, you know, there aren't many taxes or any proposals to close the state budget that wind up attracting money for this kind of big advertising push. Do you know who's behind this?
Well, I know that a lot of the professional health organizations, pediatricians, family practitioners, nurses, and then healthcare organizations, the Greater New York Hospital Association, 1199 SEIU, which are the healthcare workers, because they know in their personal lives the health benefit we can get from this.
Any Bloomberg money, as far as you know? Nothing says that, but, you know, he's a big public health advocate, and some of these flyers kind of look like his agency's work.
Not that I know, and I haven't even seen the flyers. I saw that wonderful ad when I turned on the Olympics last night. I was really enthused to see it run during the Olympics.
So make your case. How big is this tax? How would it work?
Well, first, obesity is a horrendous problem. 35% of our kids are obese or overweight. It's costing just for adults $8 billion a year. Very big problem over the last three decades. This tax I'm calling it a triple play. It will reduce sugared beverage consumption, which is a principal cause of the obesity epidemic. We can start to reverse the obesity epidemic. That's one play. The second play is, in the long run, then it reduces our health care costs, which are really driving the economy the wrong way. And then the third thing it does is bring in revenue, $450 million, which we use to prevent health care cuts. So the reason it's getting attention, there's nothing else in the budget that I'm aware of that's a triple play: better health, lower health care costs, revenue to prevent health care cuts. And that's why we've got a broad coalition of people supporting it.
So get specific. What drinks would be taxed and what drinks would not be taxed?
It's drinks that have more than 10 calories per 8 ounces of added sugar. It doesn't tax milk, natural fruit juice. It obviously doesn't tax water, low-calorie, no-calorie drinks. So it's aimed at sugared beverages, whether they're soda, sports drinks, whatever they are, if they've got that artificial added sugar in them.
So
it's a 1 cent per ounce tax when it works its way through to the consumer. So if you think of a soda that you buy for 60 cents, it's going to be 72 cents is the effect.
If it's a 12-ounce soda, in other words.
Right. I'm using that as a base.
And this would be for cans and bottles plus fountain drinks, which are sometimes 32-ounce sodas at the fast food restaurants?
What we've done is put it as an excise tax on, it's essentially on the concentrate syrup. So wherever that's used to reconstitute the drinks along the way, that's where the tax goes. And that's a good way to do it, because we catch whatever the serving size and whether you're buying in a movie or anywhere else, it works its way through. And the consumer sees it when they decide to buy a beverage, not kind of as a surprise at the checkout line.
I want to play you a clip of someone who was on our show as a caller last year when the same thing was being debated. Maybe you know her. This is Liz Morrill of the soda company Fizzy Lizzy. Listen to her argument against.
The reason that the proposal is so absurd is that it actually would let beverages like Tropicana orange juice, which contain 165 calories per 12 ounces, not be taxed, whereas a product such as my tangerine, which is 50% juice and has only 100 calories, it would be taxed because we don't have a minimum of 70% juice.
What do you say to Liz Morrill, a.k.a. Fizzy Lizzy?
Well, specifically for Fizzy Lizzy, I believe this time around, the way we formulated the tax, she wouldn't come under it.
Oh, really?
Because of what we did, say, natural fruit juices and 10 calories per 8 ounces, I don't think she triggers it. But also, I need to say this. These added sugar drinks like soda, sports drinks, and that have been what have been driving a lot of the obesity epidemic. While natural fruit juices have sugar in them, naturally occurring, they have other nutrients, vitamins, fiber, whatever, and they just don't induce the behavioral changes that cause obesity. No kid gets fat drinking pineapple juice. So why worry about taxing pineapple juice? That's a classic red herring that they put in the way of progress here by bringing up something like fruit juice when we're really focused on these high fructose corn syrup, principally artificially sweetened drinks that we're all drinking too much of.
It's not true that drinking a lot of natural juices that have natural sugars aren't good for you, because even that sugar isn't good. There are a lot of doctors who will say, stay away from those fruit juices, kids. You think they're healthy, but even though it's 100% juice, this is sugar, sugar, sugar.
No, we understand that. What we're saying is we don't have the behaviors. Kids are not drinking too much of those juices. So the goal of the tax is to change behaviors, and we're not seeing kids, you know, parents are not filling a refrigerator full of orange juice and pineapple juice and having the kids drink too much of it. So you don't only look at the calorie content, you look at the behaviors. Milk has calories in it, fine, but milk has other nutrients, and we'd like to encourage kids to drink more of it, not less.
All right, listeners, soda tax, sugary drinks tax, for New York State to help close the budget deficit and improve health. The New York State Health Commissioner, Dr. Richard Daines, is here arguing for it. And Ray in Suffolk County is calling to argue against it. Ray, you work in the soda industry, is that correct?
Yeah, I've been in the soda business for over 30 years.
What do you do?
I transport soda.
Uh-huh. And what do you think?
My father before me was in it. And I was raised, you know, drinking soda, eating pizza, things like that. I'm not obese. And I feel that two things. The price of this tax, there are times where a 2-liter bottle of soda could be 69 cents in a store on sale. And with this tax, it would just about double that, the price. I feel like the state is looking in the wrong areas to balance their budget. I also feel that in moderation, I don't see anything wrong with soda, as I don't see anything wrong with pizza or baked potatoes. But if anybody's going to be eating too many of these things or drinking too much, obviously obesity would always be a problem. Plus, I don't understand how there's been such a great, test to find out that there aren't many kids drinking pineapple juice that get obese. I mean, I don't understand how anyone could figure that out. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, if you eat anything, like I said, if you eat too much of anything, you're going to get heavy. So why blame it just on soda? And why aren't we just saying, okay, one slice of pizza for everybody, and if you have a second slice, we'll double the price on you and triple the price.
Commissioner, talk to Ray.
Well, let's talk about a couple of things. First, the fact that these sugar-sweetened sodas are a principal source, that's pretty much supported by everyone in this. The American Dietetic Association looked at 28 dietary factors, said the one that is linked is sugar-sweetened beverages. Our consumption of calories through sugar-sweetened beverages over 30 years has gone from 70 calories a day to 190 calories a day. There's no other foodstuff that's happened to. And Ray's right. Serving sizes are a very big problem. I'll give you an example. I was driving down an interstate a week ago, And there was a sign that said 44-ounce soda, 99 cents. That's almost four 12-ounce cans for 99 cents. The next sign said any size soda, $1. And then I loved it. The next sign I saw said special C-section, cesarean section wing at our hospital, presumably because of so many overweight women with diabetes, they're having their babies by C-section. And then the fourth billboard said, we suck fat, smart liposuction, so you can suck it back off. And we're just caught in a trap of overconsumption because prices are artificially low, and then we deal with the health consequences, and then we try to say, can we buy our way back out of the problem? Did you know that the corn syrup that is the sweetener in most of these drinks receives a 23% subsidy from taxpayers? We subsidize corn growers so that their price of production is 23% subsidized by taxpayers, which makes the sugar-sweetened beverages too cheap. They are much cheaper than the consumer price index now, right, because we subsidize them. And then these corn interests say, oh, you shouldn't use taxes to change behavior. If they'd give up their 23% subsidy, I think those of us in public health would say we don't need to correct this market failure with taxes.
Ray, you want to say anything about the subsidy? Does knowledge of that trickle down to the delivery trucks?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have any knowledge of that. I'm not going to make believe I do. But I do want to say, just by making food and drink more expensive is not going to cure obesity. I don't think it'll go half the way of helping. I don't know what will, but it just doesn't seem that people are all of a sudden, because something's cheaper, they're going to eat a lot more of it or they're going to drink a lot more of it. It really just sounds like a way for the state to make some money. And like I said, if a 2-liter bottle of soda could be on sale, let's say, for 69 cents somewhere, the amount of work and effort that the company had to go into to make that, deliver it, and pay the people around it, now the state's going to come in and take almost the same amount of money and just say, okay, we're just taking it. We're a partner in your business now without even helping your business.
And Ray, I'm going to get a response. Thank you very much for your call. Is there a moral contradiction, Commissioner, in hanging the revenue on people continuing to risk their health with these drinks?
No, I think this is an example of correcting a market failure. The market underprices this good, which is harmful, and this corrects it. I mean, I'm sympathetic with Ray. His truck ought to be full of drinks to deliver, but they could be healthier drinks: water, milk, low calorie, no calorie,
and
all of those choices.
His larger point is that it's an individual responsibility issue if you consume too much of it. You could put an ice cream tax. You could put a pizza tax on those products, because if you consume too much, it would be a hazard. You're singling out syrups for sugary sweetened drinks.
For two reasons. One, the sugared beverages are a pure example of unnecessary calories. There's nothing else in a soda than sugar and water. It's essentially like you took a great big ball of cotton candy and dissolved it in a bottle of water. And, you know, that cotton candy would horrify parents. We're trying to say that's what the soda is. It's just liquid sugar. So there's a reason to focus on those, and there are alternatives. There are healthier alternatives to drink. There are less expensive alternatives. You know, the big profits in beverage don't go to the Rays of the world. It's the syrup producers, the Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, Schweppes, and those. They have upwards of 20% profit margins, a lot higher profit margins than people certainly in health care or even health insurance. Nobody makes a 20% profit margin. It's those big producers that make the profit.
Let's take another call. Paul in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
Great subject. I think it's a fantastic idea. I personally think that we all drink way too much soda. I haven't been drinking soda for over 10 years now. I'm healthier than I've ever been.
Question is about diet sodas?
It is, actually, yeah. I wanted to make a point, though, in just saying that I think that fundamentally people in general here in this country think that they're healthier than they are. And I can almost bet that Ray, who just called, is probably overweight, more than likely.
Well, he said he's not obese. He said he's not.
Well, he's not obese.
Well, let's not speculate on Ray's weight, okay?
My point is that I think that even diet sodas should be taxed, because most of them have ingredients in them that are also unhealthy, including ingredients like aspartame.
Paul, great question. What makes aspartame, NutraSweet, a health food all of a sudden, Dr. Danes?
Well, you don't see us promoting diet sodas. The ingredients, the artificial sweeteners, are approved by the FDA at a hundredth of the level that is known to produce any visible effect. So by any indication, they're safe. But let me just make a point about the diet sodas. You go down that counter, the same company that is telling you don't tax our sugared beverages, trust us about this, they're the ones that market the diet sodas. If people have got questions about the trustworthiness of diet sodas, address them to the soda makers, not those of us who say you're taking in too many sugared calories, which we're very confident about. If you don't trust those big soda interests on diet drinks, why would you trust them on sugared drinks that they're telling you the truth?
One more call in our last minute. George in Brooklyn, real quick.
Hi, how are you? Commissioner, all due respect, how ignorant do you think we are? I mean, basically, children are not obese from drinking too much soda. It's because of PlayStation and Twitter and computers and the lack of physical activity that they have.
Or maybe both, George?
Call it what it is. It's another tax by our mayor on the middle class. And if you say that you have no knowledge that it's coming from the mayor's office, I'd like you to back that up.
I'll back it up. It's the governor. It's not the mayor.
This is a state-level proposal, George. You can't get out of this one if it passes by moving to Long Island. Go ahead.
Can I just say something?
Yeah, we have 30 seconds, Commissioner.
This argument that our problem with obesity is because of sort of bad parenting and lack of personal responsibility, do you understand what people are saying? They're saying that we've all failed as parents over 30 years. They're saying that low-income and minority groups that have more obesity, it's because of lack of parenting and personal responsibility. And I just don't agree with that. I think people work really hard to be good parents and be responsible, but we've got a toxic environment. We've got these beverages that are advertised with billions of dollars, and they're way too inexpensive because we subsidize them with our tax money.
And George's point that this ultimately is another middle-class tax. Mayor Bloomberg isn't going to feel the pain of this tax. Ray, the truck driver, is.
What we want Ray, the truck driver, to do is fill his truck with good stuff, and we want the consumers to switch. You know, if you drop your consumption 15 or 20% and pick up something like water or milk, it's a wash. You're not spending any more money. You're healthier, and we have some tax revenue that we can use to prevent health care cuts. So the signal isn't drink as much as always and pay the tax. It's change your consumption and pay less and be healthier.
New York State Health Commissioner Dr. Richard Danes in support of Governor Patterson's proposal for a sugar-added drinks tax in New York State to help close the budget deficit and make New Yorkers healthier. Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, one of the candidates to replace Chris Dodd in the U.S. Senate from Connecticut, investor and finance pundit Peter Schiff, who was also an economic advisor to the Ron Paul for President campaign. Peter Schiff in a minute.